welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Welcome.
With Luke Johnson and Trent. Trent in for Andy Stevens.
Trent,
what's happening?
What's up? Trent, first time, hopefully not the last. Here enjoying my soda shack.
Luke, I need you to talk a little bit louder. Let's get these levels right.
Let's just get these going because we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
One, two.
Hi.
A little louder.
That's
smooth. No, it's not quite as smooth as I want to. Keep going.
Hopefully you edit this out.
Nobody, no. Baby.
We won't edit. We'll be good. It's been a while since we did a podcast, Luke.
It's true.
We both have babies that are like, 12 and 15 months?
We have babies.
Not that we're going to talk about that, but that's probably a solid reason why.
I don't know if the world should be worried because Owen and Luke have procreated. That's a little bit of a scary thing.
Yeah, Trent, you're going to want to like hold off on that for a while, dude.
Yeah, hold off
on
that.
It's kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. Your life kind of
slightly
stops
a little bit.
Looking at this, nobody listening can see this, but when you guys talk, you gaze into each other's eyes. It's really,
do.
It's really passionate.
Right over CJ Silas.
It's been so long
that we gaze over the pop filter.
We're gonna, comprise some plan of some sort.
So there's a lot to talk about with sports right now, and so I'm glad we're getting back together and getting the band back together for the podcast. And I'm glad Trent could join too because he knows a lot about what's been going on around Cal Poly. He does some work with Mustang News and does a lot of video editing and also interns over at KSBY too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. With Matt Santa Maria.
Yeah.
And Bill Halter.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get Matt on the podcast, hopefully sometime soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know him?
I met him on the sidelines and stuff. He said he'd do it. I just need to make it happen. Bill's been over here before.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Yeah. Follow him on Facebook. He's funny.
Santa Maria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's got some good takes.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely enjoy it, and I think he's a good addition to the local sports scene for sure.
I agree.
Having like the Nebraska experience that he does.
So let's start by talking about this Arizona tea you're drinking over here. What is this? Explain this to us, please.
Trent's got some amazing looking.
Yeah, he does. I want to drink that.
It's purple.
For those of you who don't know, Shaq has his own Arizona iced tea drink available for 78 cents at Food for Less. I frequent this place. It says a big can for the big man.
All right.
And
it's a blueberry cream soda. Is
blueberry
that what it says?
Cream soda.
Yeah, it's some people say it's too heavy, but I think it's just right. It has 72 grams of sugar though.
Yep.
It's kind of like purple drink then.
Yeah, but it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup. So
it's super healthy.
Yes.
But so only 72 grams of sugar.
It's healthy purple drink.
And only 270 calories.
That's it.
Now what if you put some of Luke's bourbon in there? Make for some nice
we should try that later.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
He's just not gonna do that.
Okay.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna talk Cal Poly sports and not bourbon.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So last weekend I think was kind of like this. It was parents' weekend at Cal Poly, and it was kind of the Super Bowl of like it was a Super Bowl like 28 hours or whatever it was, I think, because you had the UCSB home soccer game on Friday night, and then you had a football game on Saturday that was kind of like with the season hanging in the balance on Saturday night as well. And I saw Trent down there on the sidelines of the soccer game. But I feel like once a year, and you're a student there, I feel like if you were going to go to one sporting event a year in San Luis Obispo County, I feel like it's the UCSB soccer game. I know football, you could say one of the football games, but I think the UCSB soccer game has way more energy than any football game ever does, right?
Yeah, I can't get over the tie, but we could get to that later. I know people have different opinions.
Isn't that just soccer, though?
Yeah. I mean, we could get to that later, but I've heard both sides argued. I saw Bill on air said that, you know, if you play for 120 minutes or so, if you play that long, it's probably not justified or fair if a team just wins in like a flippant PK sort of way.
Right, like five PKs and then you're done.
Yeah, it'd be like the NBA winning on a free throw contest after two overtimes. It'd be a little strange, I suppose.
And in a tournament situation, you have to do
it. That actually might be entertaining.
with the Clippers, Blake Griffin out there trying to make free throws to win the game.
That'd be hilarious. So that'd classic. Actually be great.
That'd be good. I like this.
Yeah. Okay. So they played like 90 minutes and then two 15-minute overtimes.
Yeah, so 110 minutes.
110 minutes, two 10-minute overtimes.
Yeah, it was really chippy, especially being on the field, but I'm sure that's expected. I was watching the raw footage playback later, and there was really rough. But I'm sure that that's expected.
Yeah, soccer is really kind of more physical than you think at high levels. I think once you get like even into high school and above high school level soccer, especially guys soccer, I mean, they are like getting away with things because they're so quick at it and because they're running by each other so quick. But I've been taking a lot of pictures this year of soccer, and there was a game where Chase Minter, who's a winger for Cal Poly, got a red card earlier in the year. It was a loss to Fullerton. I think they lost 1-0. And I was going back through my pictures, and I was like, man, why was he so mad? And then I saw a picture of the Fullerton player just grabbing his junk. Like, like Chase is going by, and the Fullerton player is just grabbing him. And I'm like, oh, that was probably one of the things that made him upset because the ref didn't call anything on it. And there's things you can get away with in soccer because there's only three guys, and the field's so big. There's only three refs, and only one really that calls fouls most of the time. So I always feel like it's way more physical than you think.
You're farther away from the field, too. I mean, Mott, you could, you know, a few thousand people, easier to see. I think 11,075 people, probably 85% of them being drunk college kids. They don't really see all that. They just see if a card's thrown, they all boo.
Right.
That simple.
So, like, one of the things I saw posted was it's just kind of, like, as far as a negative about this game, was it's just kind of an opportunity or an excuse for fans at Cal Poly or drunk college kids to get drunk and act like idiots. Where does the line between getting drunk and acting like an idiot versus, like, being a good college fan? Like, I feel like there's a blurred line there.
There's no line, Owen.
Tell me.
I just think it's part of the sporting experience.
Right. It's one and the same is what you're saying.
I'm saying that, yeah, you can be a totally diehard fan and end up sloshed on the ground.
But does sloshed on the ground, like, add to your being a diehard fan? Like, sloshed and yelling obscenities at the other team from the stands?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's part of the game.
What do you think, Trent? You're a good student.
If you need to get drunk to have fun,
you're a good student.
What you're saying?
You're a good student.
Most of the games I cover are from either the sidelines.
Most of the games you cover, you're not drunk.
Well, I'm on the job. So.
Well, he goes. That was a well with a pause. Well,
we don't want to
spread anything.
I'm definitely not. But I've also
we're just an independent blog. Our word means nothing. Nothing like that.
No, I'm also everything I've done is through Cal Poly Athletics or KSBY or through something else. So I've been on the job. So no, I don't do that. But I also haven't had the opportunity to do that because I'm always operating a camera, and it would be very distracting to see the camera bobbing up and down. Yeah.
But you're in a fraternity too, right? So like you know people who do it. Like I have
friends who
participate.
I guess would do that. Are you trying to say? I mean, I can't really argue.
To what extent does the game just give college kids an opportunity to act like idiots versus actually like caring about the game and rooting for their team? Is that a reasonable question?
I don't know. I mean, the soccer team's pretty great. I don't think it's just a mass gathering of people to drink. I mean, the team's gotten better since Hollicker got here in, 2006?
Yeah.
I was talking to him about it at the press conference.
I
don't think you could just say there's plenty of opportunities anywhere for college kids to get drunk. There's class. There's, you know, you could walk into the University
class.
Union and make a jerk out of yourself.
Let's get drunk.
Totally. You know,
there's
I mean,
class.
The,
there's class.
I guess a stadium is just a contained environment, but, you know, if they wanted to get drunk and party, they could also just go to their house or go to a house party.
Stats 4C or getting drunk at Stats 4C? Getting drunk at Stats 4C.
So I saw Brian Bennett was one of the security guards at Spanos. He has been this year. He's the Cal Poly center on the basketball team.
Really?
Yeah. Did you see him
there?
No, yeah.
I didn't notice. I was on the field the whole time.
He was also on the field. He was the one standing in front of the student section, in front of the Manglers, like keeping people from jumping on the field and stuff during the game.
What I thought was interesting was
6'9", like student, like that's the guy you want there.
I was on the Santa Barbara sideline with students throwing tortillas and stuff, and then I learned the background about that, how like a gaucho has I think Latino roots. I forget the story behind that, but then they throw tortillas because of the loose connection. It's
yeah,
weird,
so so I have a question about that for you, too, now that you're talking about it. J.D. Scroggins says it could potentially be perceived as, like, racist if you didn't know the story.
Yeah, I was saying that, but then both the cops were Santa Barbara cops who actually they said that the team brought them up. I don't know if they were hired or they were asked to come, but it was strange that two soccer felt that they had to come all the way up there. It was a significant force. I'm not sure if it was.
Yeah, they brought cops from Cal State Fullerton, Cal State, like three other ones. There were definitely guys there from Bakersfield.
Yeah, they told me that the Santa Barbara goalie got like attacked at last year's game or something. I didn't know if there was any truth to that or if they were just being safe.
I think 2 years ago, maybe your freshman year, Santa Barbara scored a goal in overtime at Spanos and like went by the crowd and like flipped everybody off maybe or something. That's what, that's what people said. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was behind the goalie, it was just brutal what the fans were just, what they were screaming at the guy. It was like I think they researched his Facebook and were yelling about his sister and just all this. Yeah, it was just really awful. I mean,
It was the J.J. Redick treatment.
J.J.
Redick. Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying about, like, is it just an excuse for people to be mean, or is it, like, actually trying to, you know, I feel like that's an ongoing question.
Maybe. It is. You're right. But I think, you know, I went to a game about 4 years ago. I went to a – no, actually even longer. Damn, getting old. About 5 or 6 years ago, I went to a football game at Notre Dame.
With Tommy Gaeta.
And I can tell you 85 to probably 90% of those students were sloshed or at least half sloshed at the game. They've been partying for the entire morning before the game. Yeah. But, I mean, those were diehard fans. Right. I mean, those were serious football fans.
And they cheered at the right times.
No, they cursed obscenities.
But they cheered at the right times. Like, they got loud when the other team had the ball?
Not always. I mean, they made drunken mistakes with their cheering.
Okay.
But, I mean, they were diehards. They were all painted in their Notre Dame gold and, you know.
So I don't know if either of you have seen, I posted an article last night about the new Cal Poly road uniforms. Did you get a look at those? Have you seen them? Do you know the story? How about you, Luke? I'll show you guys.
Tell me the story.
And you can give me, well, you guys can give me your first impressions of the the new Cal Poly road uniforms.
Who made them? What company? Nike?
Nike.
Nike.
What do you think?
Interesting. Yeah. I like those.
The all blacks.
Oh, wow.
A little more sleek.
What? Yeah. What they used to be?
Green.
Okay.
Like, is green it Cal Poly
with black accents?
A little more sleek.
I think it said, I think it was Cal Poly and gold, maybe.
A little more sleek love.
It looks, yeah, it looks a lot sleeker, like tighter, more tight fitting, kind of like those new NFL jerseys. A
little bit, yeah.
I think that's the direction they're moving with jerseys.
Totally.
But I think also, like, just the all black letters, black jersey.
Yeah. Like, I think, is that, so that's away?
That's, yeah, that's their only away jersey. They don't have green away jerseys at all anymore.
Okay. What about, do they have an alternate? Nope. Jersey? Okay. They've never done white, have they?
White at home.
White at home?
Yeah.
So they still do white at home. Yeah. They just have two jerseys, though.
White at home, black on the road.
Okay.
What do you think as a student? Like, first impression?
The jersey? Uh-huh. I mean, the jersey looks sick. Just about jersey sales, I don't think, and I think Cal Poly Athletics would make a killing, is a friend asked me if they sell soccer jerseys. Because so many fans go crazy. You could sell them for $65, $70 bucks a pop. And
before that one game.
Yeah, especially. And they don't sell soccer jerseys. Why? And I don't know if there's some sort of, you know, thing with Nike. But because they sell Under Armour, like, shorts and things like that. But
they sell, like, Cal Poly Soccer other stuff, like outerwear.
I've seen they have football jerseys, right? I think I've seen those in the bookstore.
Do they sell them? I don't know.
Have you seen anyone with the Cal Poly football jersey?
Not really.
Okay. I just think there's such an opportunity, like, you know, 11,000... So with the new seating arrangement at one end zone opposite of the scoreboard, it's 11,075, and then I guess you got to account for the 800 to 1,000 that just hang out around, maybe 500.
Sure.
So there's close to 12,000
at the soccer game, at the one game.
But let me ask you something.
Let him finish real quick.
Yeah. I was done. I just think they can make a lot out of it.
Let me ask you something though, because I think Owen's trying to maybe get to something with this drunken question in regards to soccer. I've always had this perception, and I went to Cal Poly, so I think I can talk a little bit about the experience as a student. I always had this perception of Cal Poly students and probably even the city of San Luis Obispo that maybe we aren't the most diehard sport-based town. We're not too into our Mustangs like a lot of schools have.
It's a Division I would
even
school.
Say, I would even say UCSB, like, probably has a more diehard fan base. So would they sell enough jerseys? Maybe that's part of it. They just think
to make
kids,
it worth it to make them.
They just think that, you know, they just think these kids aren't really into the game much, really.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I totally agree with that. But I think if anything, it would be soccer. I definitely think money is there to be made for that. Okay. Football, definitely not. And I was talking to, I think, a few anchors or something. There was a poll, and I think all the students said that they thought Cal Poly was a soccer school, but adults all thought it was a football school, like donors,
adults,
boosters,
and
like,
alumni,
which is funny. I mean, that's, I guess, what they pay more attention to. But a lot of students too, I think,
and on average, more people go to football games. I mean,
yeah, a lot of the soccer too is, you know, all the attendance for the rest of the games is really not very high. So I think a lot of, I mean, it's not as high as you would think.
They end up averaging like, I think 30 3,000, something like that, a game, 3,500 a game for soccer. And football is probably like...
If
it was 33,000,
we're not in Lincoln, Nebraska.
3,300. Did I say 33,000?
But that'd be great.
Yeah.
Did I say 33,000?
Yeah.
That'd be the whole town.
It's part of those baby
3,300. Yeah.
Now let me ask you. I think that this is a good question. Besides, obviously, the teams being successful, which is obviously answer number one. For answer B, C, and D, what are some ways that you've seen as a student and being involved with the sports programs that you think Cal Poly could maybe foster more of a diehard student fan base?
A lot more advertising for soccer. I think that if everybody gets that much hype around the Santa Barbara game, and a lot of people who either don't go to it or students were getting their tickets for free and they ran out because they sold out. And if we have like 19,000 students now, that means there were thousands of students who didn't have it. They were buying tickets at like 30, 40 bucks, which is ridiculous for a Cal Poly game that, you know, isn't even that big. That's enough. You could sit in the outfield at Dodger Stadium for that. So I think that if they really hyped when I was interviewing Don Oberhelman, he said that they used to have a break in attendance night and they needed it to get like 6,000-7,000 people back in like 2007, 2008. And now they don't even have to advertise to get advertise much to get it. It travels from word of mouth. I really wish that
you mean a break in admission.
Yeah, I guess
they charge less one game.
Students getting free no matter what. I think I wish they paid more attention to all the other games too, because there is that inherent kind of rivalry with Santa Barbara. But
well, I was at the Riverside game, and it was on a Friday night before the Yale game, I think. And there were the whole Mangler section, like almost all the new side of Spanos was full. There were about, I think, 4,000 or 5,000 people for the Riverside home game. Now the next Sunday, I think there were like 1,500. You know, it was pretty sparse. But over time, I think you get more and more of those games, like the Riverside game, where the fans actually did make a difference, and Cal Poly won 5-1, and everybody had a great time. And I think it has to do with the school schedule as well. And day games are bad. That's my other argument. I think Cal Poly plays a day game against Eastern Washington coming up, and since they're out of the playoffs, like the football team plays a day game coming up. Since they're out of the playoffs, I think it's like a noon game. It's going to be really interesting to see if anybody shows up to that thing.
You're speaking about all sports, right?
Yeah, I just think sports in general there.
Yeah, I think what really hurts it is when I talk to people who aren't as diehard sports fans and they come in and they're like, oh, I don't know if I should go to the games. Mm-hmm. One guy told me, he's like, I hear the football program's not very good. Or I think it really hurts right off the bat that it's not D1 for everything. Soccer, I think that label attached to it,
it is D1 for everything.
Well, it's like, you know, it's kind of like there's the Missouri
FBS
Valley.
Versus FCS.
It's like the medium sort of.
It's a mid-major, but it's all technically Division One.
But the mid-major status, I think, hurts it because people who don't know a lot about sports and hear that it's not a big division and they don't notice a lot of the team's names in it, that kind of recognizability of it, they just say, oh, I guess it's, you know, nobody's going to go to this sort of thing. And they go to Santa Barbara because all their friends go to it, but I think winning ultimately cures all. I saw as a freshman and a sophomore the basketball program was getting a lot more people, like when was it Orlando Johnson was on Santa Barbara
two years ago?
Game winning shot.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that made me really mad. Some old lady next to me was like, "Are you guys going to storm the court when they win?" And then they gave up like six straight points, and I was
that was a rough one.
I do like the idea, though, you know, and without knowing the economic side of it, I do like the idea regarding the jerseys because I can speak as a former student. I think the city of San Luis Obispo being known as slow, there's some truth to that. It kind of reeks over into the school itself. And I almost think that maybe Cal Poly San Luis Obispo is a little overly reliant upon how beautiful the area is to maybe draw an athlete. But you look at these schools, like these smaller schools like St. Mary's, obviously Gonzaga, these smaller sort of, you know, colleges that have become – that maybe boast some better talent than Cal Poly might. You know, obviously success – is the greatest remedy to bring these talents, but you have to get these talents first to have success.
I'll just say, having been to St. Mary's and knowing about Gonzaga, those are both private schools. Those are both schools that have, I'm sure, really amazing donors. Number two, and it costs a lot of money to go there, so you get what you pay for as far as facilities too.
But
and the facilities at St. Mary's, if you were to look at that, you talk about getting guys to go
there. I was going
to
get there, I was going to say that I think what Murph might be saying here is that with the jerseys, maybe. Make the sports and then, you know, broadcasting them maybe a little better. Make the sports a little sexier to students.
More accessible.
Or like these jerseys, just more in with the students today. Well, what, you know, not yeah. Don't just rely on San Luis Obispo being a beautiful place yeah. to have an athlete.
It doesn't
come.
Reek. It doesn't reek like athletic culture.
Yeah, make it like yeah. Have that. Have something in the air that says so, it's cool. It's a really great cool experience to go to the football games, to wear the jerseys, to be involved, to know the athletes.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of almost hurts them that we have that whole learn by doing where it's like, oh, Cal Poly is the best Cal State. It's great academically, so you automatically associate that with like, oh, you know, it's not. There's schools that break that, you know, there's the Dukes, the North Carolinas, Chapel Hill. You're like, wow, that great academically, Stanford, but that's private. I really, it doesn't breed athletics in the culture. Right. I think that would really help.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're not having a hard out or anything. There's some music playing in the background, and I think that probably means that we're going to go to break here. And we're going to come back and talk to Diane Tanwakio. About the NBA and about what's going on this year. The Lakers beat the Clippers last night. That was good times. And,
that was good.
And other things. We'll be right back on the podcast. No matter what Dirk does do, he do it better than me and you. Doctor, the German Doogie. Dancing, the German Boogie. Numbers, the German Pie. The German samurai, science, the German hockey, hosiery, the German stocking, flowers, some German roses, history, German Moses. And we're back on the podcast with Diane Tanwakio. I always feel like I'm going to butcher that, and I probably
Diane,
do every time.
You don't have to go by someone. Diane.
Luke's going to get your theme song, Diane. He's going to.
That was pretty good.
He's going to write it and record it.
That was pretty good.
I dig it.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm glad. So, Diane, this is your favorite time of the year, I know. For those of you who don't know Diane, she's a writer on Fansmanship, and especially during basketball season. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely basketball season. The first NBA games were played last night. I think there were three of them. Miami won, and some other team won, and then the Lakers beat the Clippers. Yeah, I don't know. Orlando lost to Indiana, is that right?
Indiana yeah. won. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and then
107-96.
And then the Lakers went
ahead. Who cares about that?
And then the Lakers went ahead and beat the hell out of the Clippers in the fourth quarter with five subs. That's what's exciting for me about this year, that Chris Paul isn't just going to get his way every time. What's exciting about you, or what's exciting about the NBA season for you? Give me like two or three things that make you really pumped for the 2013-14 NBA season.
Well, I'm really excited to have NBA League Pass back, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm checking out the Wizards Detroit game, and one of the top things that I'm excited about this season is really being able to see John Wall and Bradley
yes,
Beal.
Yes, thank you.
Jumping out of this season. You know, last season was Beal's rookie year, and neither of them were really on the floor very much, especially not together. And now that they're both healthy, Beal has, you know, already has a 20-point game going on right now. I think that they, you know, will be pretty electric together, and will build something really exciting, and might actually make the playoffs.
And Diane, tell me why do I feel like we're the only maybe two people in the world that think that John Wall's big time? I mean, that guy's been through some injuries. A lot of people think he can't shoot. He really is kind of an erratic shooter, but I mean, that guy's destined to be a great point guard, isn't he?
I just don't think that people watch Wizards games a lot.
Who gets to see a Wizards game on the West Coast?
All it took was seeing Wall one year in Kentucky, and I could tell you that I knew he was going to be a good pro, period.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, last year he played, I believe, in the Rising Stars Challenge during All-Star break, and really just showed, you know, he's a class above a lot of kind of his contemporaries right now. I think that my concern about him at the beginning of his career was, you know, being stuck on this post-Gilbert Arenas team that was really in disarray. You know, there really was a danger of him kind of toiling away on bad teams, picking up bad habits, and that really derailing his career. And I think last year, with kind of the adversity with his injuries, and although we really saw, you know, really that promise of somebody who's going to be a really good player and, you know, somebody who's going to be good for a long time, you know. He's on the bench a lot, and when Bradley Beal was struggling, you know, he was there to play the mentorship role, was giving him advice, was really being a leader for this team. And, you know, when the two of them played together or started together, which wasn't a lot, you know, they were 6-2. And so, you know, there really is a lot of promise there. They complement each other really well. And now that they're both healthy and, you know, we hopefully will see them together a lot, we can finally see, you know, what's there. And I think that it's going to be something that surprises a lot of people.
Awesome. Hey, I have a question about the Wizards. Is Trevor Ariza still on the Wizards?
He is, and he's having a great game right now.
How many does he have? He has like 20-plus points, right?
Something.
Yeah, my buddy who's a DC fan and he lives in DC, he knows I was super mad when they traded Ariza, when the Lakers got rid of Ariza and kept Meta World Peace, I think he's another piece there that makes the Wizards like a really interesting team this year when it comes to having a guy who's 6'9", who's long, who can maybe even play defense on some of the better kind of longer players in the Eastern Conference, and I think if you're looking for like a random team to make it to the second round of the playoffs, I think the Wizards might be that team.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Ariza is on the line, which is why I've always had a soft spot for his career. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's a UCLA guy.
The Wizards really just have something interesting going here, and I think that people need to take the opportunity to catch one of their games once in a while, even though they're not going to be on national TV a lot.
Right. Okay, so Bradley Beal and John Wall, that combo and the Wizards playing is going to be something that you're looking at. What's something else about the NBA this season that gets your heart racing?
Yeah, I am looking forward to seeing Dwight Howard's inevitable meltdown on the Rockets. I don't think it's a secret that I'm not a fan
of
Dwight Howard. You know, I think that he, you know, immediately improves the Rockets' defense, which, you know, was something that they was definitely on their must-improve list last season. But I think that a lot of people forget that, or, you know, don't realize that he's starting his 10th year in the league because he really just hasn't matured at all emotionally. You know, you don't look at him as, you know, an elder statesman of the league, even though he's been here for a long time, because, you know, to be honest, he's a locker room cancer.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen it time and again. You know, the way that he derailed those, or, you know, that Orlando team, the way that he completely just melted down.
Luke doesn't agree with you. Winters. I can tell by the look on his face.
Diane, are you squinting right now and squirming as you eat those sour grapes? Are you just like writhing?
Diane's
as you
not
crunch?
A Lakers fan, though. Diane's not a Lakers fan.
Yeah, but she's a Dwight Howard hater. I don't like Dwight. I don't like Dwight Howard either.
I think that we saw.
But a locker room cancer is a little harsh.
Well, when he
didn't exactly bring a lot to the table in the locker room on the Lakers.
But a locker room cancer.
He didn't exactly make an effort to fit in.
Let's see what happened. You know, the last teams that he was on, when there's conflict, you know, he has this tendency to become withdrawn.
Yeah,
he's aloof.
And, you know, to deal with it, you know, kind of in a passive aggressive, almost in a child's manner.
One of my favorite things was when he was when he and Stan Van Gundy were in that press conference, and
that
Stan Van Gundy
worst.
Had just like called him out and said that basically like Dwight Howard or the ownership said that Dwight Howard didn't want Stan there, and then Dwight came over and like tried to give him a hug. It was like, hey, what's up? And Stan's like, not too much. You guys want him? All right, see you later. And the media had to ask him.
Yeah.
He's definitely hasn't proven himself as any kind
boyish.
Of a winner. He's boyish. He's immature, and he may always be. He may just you know, just end up that way in his career. But I think the Rockets had to take a shot at him, and I think. Going to a place with James Harden and at all will give him an opportunity to do a little bit better. But I agree with you, Diane. I think the implosion is only it's not a question of whether he'll implode or whether he'll make a fool of himself, but it's I would say it's a question of when.
I absolutely agree with that. So
yeah, I think hey Diane, I think can you do that thing again, Luke? That Diane thing?
Diane.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I think psychologically it hurts him that he's known in the public as someone who kind of deals with things in a he's you look at him as
which
I don't
is
know,
exactly why he's known in the public as someone who deals with things immaturely because
not immaturely, but there never was conflict in Orlando because he was a big fish in like a medium sized pond, so he kind of was always had a smile on his face, and then when adversity came, I think it hurt him. He never went to college, didn't he? He was drafted out of high school.
Yeah,
and then he kind of I think it's a lot of pressure when you have to kind of live your life out and mature in front of the big screen, and maybe just he's still 27, but it probably
is he only 27?
He's only 27.
Maybe he's 28. Okay, yeah, but those 7 years.
He's 27.
Wow. Yeah, those years go by fast.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah, when all those years are when most of your life's spent in the NBA, he probably don't have a lot of time to reflect. Really, I mean, he does because he's not really that good in the playoffs, but
he's not.
Burn.
Turkoglu was the best player on that Magic team that year they went
in
to
the playoffs.
He was
so clutch.
He was great.
He had every clutch
25
shot.
25-5 sort of guy.
I'm by no means a Dwight Howard fan, but I do want to say that I think Owen was right that Houston was the best choice for Dwight Howard because it's a medium-sized market like Orlando. He's got a big-time scorer in James Harden, and he's got some great other scorers like Chandler Parsons, Jeremy Lin's decent. Yeah. He's really not there to score. I mean, he's so athletic and large, he can easily get 16 to 20 without even having to think, but he's there to play defense and to shore up that defense, which I think is the best situation for Dwight Howard. He's not the man, even on the Rockets. It's James Harden.
Yeah, is he going to have an issue with that? And maybe the Houston media is more mellow.
I think he wants to be, in his own way, he's saying, almost subconsciously, he's saying, I want to be second fiddle. I just don't want to be with a guy like Kobe who's going to tear my throat out if I'm not the first fiddle.
I think the expectations there are monumentally lower than in Los Angeles,
much
too.
Much smaller.
He doesn't have to be the fourth or fifth center in that reign of LA centers. He's just,
he has to be behind Hakeem Olajuwon and
Ralph Sampson.
that's old school.
Well, I think it also helps, it does help that, James Harden is there to be, to take some of that pressure off. But, more importantly, his leadership style is so much different than Kobe's, with Harden and Parsons and Lin being, the big bromance in the NBA. They really are, they're not going to be as alienating as Kobe was.
They're not going to be on him all the time like Kobe probably was.
Lin's not even starting, just a side note.
Who's their starting point guard?
Whoever the
other guy is.
That's going to make him that's a mistake.
Well,
is it?
Yeah,
that's
I don't know.
A mistake.
And then he came out and said he knew it would be it for a long time, and he's not worried, so
no.
Whatever.
There you go. Hey, Diane, what was your reaction to the Lakers beating the Clippers last night? Obviously, it's just opening night, blah, blah, blah. But you're in L.A. Trent's giving a fist pump. I'm giving an internal fist pump. Luke's just kind of going, whatever. Luke's texting on his phone because he's pretty excited.
About L.A.?
I've lived in L.A. for 10 years.
I hate the Clippers.
I picked the Clippers because I can't really stand the Lakers, but I'm not really a huge Clippers fan either.
You're a Warriors fan.
I'm also not a... Yeah, I'm a big Warriors fan.
Good choice.
I am not a fan of Blake Griffin. I think that his game.
Oh, thank you. Thank
he's
you.
Really, Jesus. A little funded.
Hold on. Can I stop you for a second? Will you say that louder? Because I just think we just need to echo this across the NBA landscape. That I mean, really, he's nothing more than a semi-star. Correct? Blake Griffin's a semi-star. Let's just say it. He's a semi-star.
I think that he isn't improving in the ways that he needs to.
Exactly.
To be a true superstar.
Did you see the game last night, Diane?
I did.
You saw when Reggie Miller, it was like the first quarter, first half, and he came out and he's like, he said, it's completely evident by the way Blake Griffin is right now that he did not work on his post game at all over the summer. It was hilarious.
And that's been his problem every year. I'm not a huge fan of either team. I'm going to go see the Clippers and the Warriors tomorrow at Staples, and nice. I'm going to be rooting, against the Clippers, obviously.
Yeah.
So I just like to see Lakers fans and Clippers fans just duke it out. And so it's kind of like, the Joker in The Dark Knight. You just want to see the world burn.
That's a good comparison. Now let's go ahead and move away.
My viewpoint here.
And let's move away from the Lakers and Clippers because that's a classic Owen moment. He wants to talk about the Lakers all the time.
But it was the most relevant game
last
night.
Let's talk about your
Wait,
Warriors.
Hold on, real quick. The Lakers are going to be really fun to watch this year.
They're going to win like 37 games.
But they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be fun to watch
them. 37 games. Who cares? Okay, so let's move on. So the Warriors.
Andy won't care when he's here.
Andy
will not let you get away with that.
The Warriors with a great young coach. A great young core were so exciting last year, but I have an issue with this Iguodala pickup, and I don't know if you do. I think he's adding another dimension to an offense that already was so potent. What do you think
like
about that?
Like a bad dimension, Luke?
They already had enough. They already had enough options. You know,
plays defense though.
It wasn't necessarily needed though because they had to give up. They didn't re-sign key bench players.
People keep talking about Iguodala's defense, but I think he averages like 16 to 17 a game throughout his career. Yeah. He still wants to score. He's been kind of a semi-star throughout his career. He was the man in Philadelphia. I just don't think. I think he's adding too much to something that was already rich enough. You know what I mean? What do you think there?
Diane, are you there still?
Yes. Okay. I love Iguodala. I think he's, been a leader, everywhere that he's been. He's been a positive influence. And I think for a team that's young, that's something that, is gonna be helpful, aside from what he brings on defense. And I actually think that Harrison Barnes will benefit from...
Really? Yeah.
I'm really just trying to figure out where he fits in. I think that we saw in the playoffs, last season, that the kid's a gamer. But, he is also still, a very young player. And I think that he benefits from, watching somebody who's been in the league for a long time who plays this position.
So you have the Warriors, and I feel like you got your point guard in Steph Curry. You got Lee down low still, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's that?
Oh, injured.
Is he injured still?
No, I just meant...
You got Bogut.
I love the Warriors, but...
Oh, Bogut's gone.
No, I thought he signed didn't he sign an extension?
Yeah.
Oh, with the Warriors?
Yeah, 3 years, $41
million. That's who he signed it with. Okay, I was picturing he signed with somebody else. Okay, so you got Bogut and Lee down low, but then you have this kind of interchangeable group of players in the 2 through 4 spots.
Well, what's his name?
Two and three.
Not interchangeable. Well, he dropped almost 20 a game last year.
Who? Name him.
Yeah, so the two and three, yeah.
Curry?
No. Diane! See, I just think that Klay Thompson at the 2 spot is not interchangeable. He's not one of those guys in that nameless sea you were trying to describe, Owen. Klay Thompson, I think, has a higher upside than Andre Iguodala. He's an explosive scorer.
Yeah.
But let me say real quick.
No, let me address that point first before you start to go on a different topic here.
Well, it's the same topic as the Warriors.
But with Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala, because I think you're wrong. I think Andre Iguodala's value is not just in scoring. Like Klay Thompson's is, I think Klay Thompson is a young player who doesn't play very good defense versus comparatively to Andre Iguodala. I think it's far and away a huge difference. If I had my computer in front of me right now, I'd look it up. But AI has either the second or third most triple doubles like every year. He gets rebounds. He gets assists.
Those are overrated. Triple doubles are overrated.
Yeah.
Diane.
If you look at his numbers every year, it's crazy. Iguodala averages like 6 or 7 rebounds a game. There's no 2 guard that does that. He's much stronger and everything else. Diane, we're going to let you go real quick. And then Luke can expound on his point here. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Diane.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. See you next time.
All right. Bye.
So Luke, tell me more of your point. Yeah, we're still going.
Well, sorry.
I told you you'd be able to refute your point.
Having some technical difficulties,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah,
I want to make a point in saying that, if there's the old saying that if something is not broke, there's no need to fix it. And I think the Warriors had something solid going on. They have a great wing defender in Curry. Lee's a rebounder.
Curry's a point guard defender, not a wing defender.
Okay, fine. A point guard defender. He's on the perimeter.
He's a perimeter defender.
He's a perimeter defender, thank you. Bogut's a known shot-blocking rebounder. Lee's a rebounder. So, yeah, you might have a couple guys that have to sort of be groomed into that defensive place. But my whole point is not that – I'm not questioning AI's ability to play defense. I'm saying that you're adding a scorer, and maybe Iguodala's best asset is his defensive ability. But he still scores.
Yeah, but
he still wants to be a scorer.
Trent?
And Trent and I were just talking about Harrison Barnes, and I disagree. I don't think he's going to be key in Barnes' progression. I think he's going to maybe cause an issue with that because Barnes, possibly feeding off the postseason where he played great, you start him this year, he might be a 15, 16, 17-point guy who's hitting threes in the, you know, on the perimeter.
See, the thing is, I agree with both of you. I think that – I don't think his best – he's a good defender. I don't know. A lot of defending his reputation because Kobe was still called lockdown a year or two after point. He wasn't locked down. So that's but, really – unless you watch the Warriors 24-7.
When he, was guarding, when he was guarding like Brandon Jennings.
When you're kind of savvy though. Yeah. But when you're savvy – like Kobe is, like you get plays, like you get calls when you reach in. Sometimes you are able to anticipate. Like John Stockton has the steals record. Do you think like the last like 5 years he was like really like using his quickness to steal a ball from guys? No, he was using his savvy to do it. Sorry,
but that's a Hall of Famer and AI is not. Anyways, but what I was gonna say is, I think his best offensive liability isn't his scoring because he's historically a low percentage scorer. I think he's a pretty good passer. He's pretty good moving without the ball. He's really athletic. So I think he'll be great for the offense. But to speak on what you said, I think it will definitely hurt Harrison Barnes where it's going to help the Warriors. But to be honest, I don't know if it's really just going to get them at the point where they were with Barnes or a little above. It was almost an unnecessary addition where, yeah, it's going to be great and it'll probably look great. Yeah. But it's going to hurt Barnes. I doubt after this contract in a few years that they'll probably ship off AI. Barnes will either still be around or he'll probably get butt hurt from not being a starter and he'll leave. So I think...
Or just never pan out. Diane!
So I think for Barnes, it could only turn out badly. I mean, I'm being... that could be a little shocking, yeah. But yeah. I don't see a lot of upside for Barnes' development, him being on the bench. You know, it... Unless I don't see him as like a Manu Ginobili guy where he's not supposed to capitalize off of second year guys.
He's not who's quick. Barnes? He doesn't move Barnes or like AI? Ginobili.
Barnes. I think Barnes? This hurts but Barnes.
But here's what I think. Yeah, here's my take. In a league that and AI is like probably 32, 33, he's been in the league for 10 or 12 years at least.
Yeah.
For a league where Dwayne Wade has to sit out the second half of back to backs, and that was like something that I saw today. Going around that was definitely going to happen where Steve Nash, and he's 40, so it's a little different, but you know, he's definitely sitting out like a lot of back-to-backs. It sounds like he only played like 22 minutes last night, in a league like that now where a super high level of performance is expected every minute of every day that you're on the court or every minute that you're on the court period. I think, having Harrison Barnes and AI on the same team will actually extend AI's career and make him, when he's in the game, much more effective. I think the Manu Ginobili...
Diane!
This is good pod, gentlemen. We've been having some technical difficulties, and Luke's been arguing. Wait. I just need to really quickly say...
we're back career, on Iguodala.
Career stats for Iguodala are 15 points a game.
He's a good player.
Six rebounds and five assists.
He's a good
player.
For
a guy who's 6'8 and is all defense...
He's a good player.
He's very good.
But you're adding.
He's probably the most underrated player of his generation.
It's like looking at
what?
It's taking an origami
and
bird.
Shooting 46 or 48% from the field.
Here's what adding.
He's always been on a bad team.
Here's what adding Iguodala is. It's taking one of those beautiful origami birds, and you've added a third wing. You don't need a third wing. You already had a
sometimes,
bird that
sometimes
flew.
there's a wing that goes the other way that keeps the plane on track and on course. And for the Warriors to be on track and on course and to get to the playoffs and make noise in the playoffs, you have to have some toughness that Iguodala brings. And because they don't, I mean, they have David Lee.
Didn't they show last year that they were tough? There were a couple games where they nearly knocked out the Spurs. Can we agree?
Yeah, they were right there.
I don't mean toughness like they're good. I mean toughness like physical.
Can I remind you
that
was the Spurs team that's won four championships and went to the finals? They nearly knocked them out. How do you measure?
Get a rebound.
How do you? Okay.
How about Duncan missed a wide-open layup?
Get
that's
a rebound.
So un-Duncan-like.
Just because they lost to the team that won the championship in seven games while they were young doesn't mean they're not mentally or emotionally weak. Right. How do you measure that unless you're, you know, best friends with the guy and you know he's going
to... No, I was saying that I was actually speaking on behalf of them.
Not you, Owen. Owen said
the Warriors need to be tougher.
The fact that how they performed versus the Spurs, I think, proved that they were tough. right?
Yeah, but they got to be a little tougher in the playoffs to beat the Spurs.
Well.
And didn't Steph Curry have a coming out party last year?
There's a difference between being tough and being tough enough to win a championship, and I think a guy like Andre Iguodala gives them a chance to make the finals.
Oh, man.
Okay, okay, listen.
I'm drinking all this laughter. Diane is listening.
This is actually a good conversation.
Yeah, and I think I think that a guy like AI in the playoffs guarding the better players.
I can't even believe we just linked AI to going to the finals.
Are you kidding?
He could be a big difference maker.
He's always been on a pretty average team where those stats can be kind of buffed out. We're like,
good point.
He's had some plays run for him, and he won't have to do that this year. So will his stats be as good this year?
You're right. No. He doesn't do well with the ball in his hands. Right. He picks up garbage time points.
Right.
This is the longest conversation Andre Iguodala will have all year.
Because the ball's going to be in Steph Curry's hands the whole time. It's a perfect fit for him. Steph Curry's going to be holding the ball, shooting the ball. Him and David Lee can pick up the garbage. I'm telling you.
You're right. And they'll make the finals. Too bad. Too bad Lee.
Who do you have in the finals?
I haven't thought about that yet. Lee or Bogut. I bet you Lee or Bogut is probably going to get hurt. I don't know. Finals? Yeah, it doesn't matter. The Heat are going to win again. Yeah. I agree.
It doesn't matter.
I don't even think about
West.
Who's going to win in the West. And the fact that anybody picks the Clippers is ludicrous, where in their franchise history, they've never made it past the second round.
Let's not talk about the Clippers.
It bums me out. But
this is the same team that last year. I wish this was sometimes a televised show because I could reenact what I'm trying to do. But this is the team when seven million foot DeAndre Jordan dunked on Brandon Knight, and it wasn't a big deal. It was just a dunk. And this is the team, because they're so hype motivated, who's off the bench, putting their hands over their lips, ooh. I just can't root for a team like that.
For all of you in podcast land, Luke was just putting his hands over his lips.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to show it without showing it.
You know, okay. This will sound totally from a Lakers perspective.
Minus Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a great player.
I think Chris Paul's great.
Chris Mim is pretty good too.
he's got potential. He might pan out.
Or how about Chris Wojciechowski? Wojciechowski.
You know what I think? It was funny how, speaking on the hype, the Lakers had what media considered to be an awful year, all the hype they had. Clippers had all this hype at the end, and they still both lost in the first round. And everyone's talking about the Clippers like they're the new, they own LA, when really the Lakers' trough at the bottom, if we're looking at some economic chart, their bottom matches the Clippers' peak to this point.
Yep.
Right? Yep.
I don't know. I like the Clippers more than the Lakers this year. I think
but who cares?
It doesn't
the
matter.
Point is the phrase for both teams this year is who cares?
Yeah, I don't think either is going to make it past the second round. Lakers won't make it past the first round.
I think to be fair to you know, Diane, the team to talk about this year are the Warriors. They're the team.
AI's best year was 18-6-6.
Good for him. There's a lot of players who have done that.
That was on the Sixers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he was the man. He was the franchise guy.
The man has 18 points. Come on.
That's the point I'm trying to say. I think AI's a great player on the Sixers. Or on a team that just needs a defender.
He's what, the third or fourth best player on the Warriors now?
Never, ever been scrutinized or expected to
do a lot. He's not right now because he's the third or fourth best player.
But what I'm saying is, for you to back up that you knew something about him, you couldn't say, I've watched footage of him. You looked up his ESPN stats. So I'm saying you haven't.
I've watched him play. I've watched the NBA for the last...
For longer than you've been alive.
Hey, you don't...
It's kind of true.
I know about... Yeah, it is true.
I guess so.
That's kind of creepy.
Wow. Okay,
you weren't alive when Magic made the hook shot.
I mean...
You were being born when Jordan went up with his one hand and then went to his left. Okay?
Luke, we're officially old enough,
very
Owen.
Old, dude. Me and Luke used to argue about the Lakers and the Bulls.
I know for the next 10 seconds it's going to be really cool to be older than me, but
continue. It's just
That was a coming of age moment though, right there.
Hey, it's okay.
I did look up his stats.
I don't mean to rag on you. I'm just
You're right.
I just think no, to be
rag.
Honest,
we
though,
like ragging.
Yeah, we rag.
You invited me to your house. This is very nice of you. Anyways, I think that AI has never had. He's never been you argue that I say he's never been counted on. You say he won't need to be counted on. But then what's the point of even bringing him to the team, like Luke's saying?
Because as a championship is oftentimes turned by a guy who's the third or fourth or fifth best player on the team.
That was already Harrison Barnes.
Okay, and they did so
what,
good last
so
year.
What do you do with Barnes now? Answer that question.
You play them both, man. There's minutes.
You can't play them both.
There's minutes for six guys in the NBA.
You're saying Barnes is a sixth man now, right?
One or the other.
And I want to go back to Murph's point of view about comparing him to Manu Ginobili. Ginobili's a,
or maybe Iguodala's the Ginobili.
Really good sixth man. Okay, I could maybe roll that.
Yeah, I think that's the better place to be.
Okay, I could roll that.
Like 20, if Jackson, 25 minutes.
If Jackson starts,
he's older. He's played in the league for 10 years.
Okay, I want to say that
they're paying him too much to be a sixth.
Yeah,
man.
But I want to say that if Jackson starts, which he's not going to, but if he starts Barnes and he brings Iguodala off the bench, I'm all for that. That's great, but that's not going to happen.
He's getting paid like what J.R. Smith money,
and they're going to miss Jarrett Jack. Jack was big.
They will miss
no
Jack.
Warrior fan has talked to me about Jack. Jack is so huge. He comes off.
He went to
Indiana or someplace.
Indiana might be right.
Where did Jack
look it
go?
Up. I think it's Indiana. But go ahead, continue.
Cut this out. Yeah, he was good.
Was it Detroit?
No, I think he went to.
I think Pacers is totally correct. Actually,
he did. He went to the Pacers.
He's the backup to Indiana.
Cavs. He's
Cavs.
He's Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie. Okay. Well, yeah, he would come off the bench, not playing a lot of minutes.
See, he's a great six man,
right?
Yeah, which is perfect because I wish that the Warriors weren't so caught in the moment. They're like, Curry played 82 games, we don't need him. He was the year before. He was awesome when Curry was injured. He could drop 20 any night.
He was dropping 20 last year, some games.
Yeah, it's so impressive. He's great.
Yeah, and yeah.
I mean, if you watch some of those postseason games when Curry when they were shooting well. And Curry wasn't shooting well, which wasn't often, but that happened a few times.
Right.
It was Jack who picked up the slack.
So I just want to point out right
Landry
now
was really good.
Yeah.
On this podcast, we're 50 minutes in, and we've probably spent about 40 minutes, 35 of those minutes talking about two amazing teams, the Wizards and the Warriors.
Let's talk about our wives and our children.
That's this year's NBA, though, right? I mean, it's so much fun that there are different teams that are actually possible real contenders, even if it's not the Clippers necessarily.
Like the Bucks.
Fear the deer.
With Ilyasova.
I love the Bucks, dude. I love the Bucks and I love the Pacers. I watched the Pacers like for the first time last year. I saw them in the playoffs because
The Pacers are awesome.
Yeah, because I didn't have cable last year and like they're like amazing. I really liked watching George. Yeah. So Trent, you were saying earlier about the TNT post game last night and what they did. Tell me about it a little bit. You said they made their picks and they were pretty interesting.
Yeah, you could Google the Bleacher Report article, Bleacher Report TNT post game like Western Conference standings picks.
Yeah,
and left to right, it went. I think it had in the Shaq was on the left and he picked the Kings seventh because he's a little partial since he owns them, and then he Sacramento Queens or whatever you want to call them, and then the Kenny Smith was in the middle, picked the Rockets to finish first, and then Charles was all the way on the right, and you got to see it, and he just says I'm not an expert, Kenny, and it was just that's pretty funny. Charles, I guess, didn't
so
get
Kenny
much
actually picked the Rockets
to win it all, but I know, which is kind of gross. I just can't even take that.
You just can't take it serious.
Yeah, well, to be honest, the whole show you don't take seriously because of all the side banter, but it really even makes it hard to take anything they say seriously when they predict that. Like,
I'm
really
personally okay with the banter. I don't need to have like a serious show, but that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, because I watched though because I think they have some credibility, but that kind of hurts it. I think I don't think that they should.
I couldn't find it.
It doesn't matter. But
I couldn't find it. I'm very old on the Google machine.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Old man.
I think
back when you watched Jordan switch hands.
I think some of them. I know this is another team no one ever wants to talk about, but the Pelicans were picked, I think, seventh or eighth by two of them.
No, the Pelicans are good.
Yeah, and well, I'm not a huge fan of Tyreke Evans, but I do like the rest of the team.
Yeah, the Seagulls are pretty good too.
I'm going for the
Falcons.
I agree.
Do you like the logo, Luke?
No, I just don't like that name or any association with Pelicans. It's just the stupidest name.
It was because of the owner's wife, right?
Pelicans are vicious.
Come on,
Pelicans are vicious.
Your wife
swallow
doesn't get
to
name an NBA team.
If you owned an NBA team, you would let your wife.
No, I would not.
Really?
I'm going to tell her right now.
You would let your wife name an NBA team?
She wouldn't want to. She would know better.
I'm putting that on her. Ciara would never name my NBA team.
Name it after your daughters or something, right?
Just name it something good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the Pelicans, and I think that this is actually an interesting conversation because I've never been a big Tyreke fan either, but they were trying to make him the man with the Sacramento Queens. And
Sacramento.
I think Tyreke's a comparable player to a guy like AI. He's kind of that kind of fringe sort of all-staric sort of player.
I would say that I would say the difference
be the main guy offensively, but he's decent defensively. He's like the third option with the Pelicans.
But the difference is that I haven't watched Tyreek a ton, but when I have watched him, he has taken plays off. Like defensively, he doesn't have the same mental I don't want to say motor because that's a overused word, but he doesn't have the same motor as AI to play consistently throughout a game at a certain level, and he doesn't have the fundamentals that Iguodala has. Iguodala played for Ludolus at Arizona. He has a level of fundamentals, both handling the ball, you can give him the ball in the end.
Yeah, but Tyreek played for Pitino, and
Calipari? No,
Pitino.
Tyreek played at Memphis, didn't he?
He played at Louisville.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. Yeah, Pitino.
You sure? I thought he played at Memphis.
Did he play at Memphis?
Yeah, he played at Memphis.
Calipari.
He played for Calipari.
No, not Calipari.
Are you sure? I'm so sure he played for Memphis because he was...
Okay, no, I'm sorry. No,
in the year after Calipari left, he played for the backup to next coach.
Pastor. No.
Pastner?
Pastner.
Yeah, but he played for them, right?
He did. You're right, because I always compare him to a player who played for Louisville the same year, was sort of a wing kind of do-it-all guy. Was drafted to the Nets and never panned
out.
Carter
Williams.
No.
No. Yeah, I love that guy, too.
He was like Tyreek style, kind of like a do-it-all sort of player.
Yeah, and he's in the D-League
What's his name? His last name is Williams, I think.
Michael Carter Williams.
Terrence
Williams.
Terrence Williams. Never panned out.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And they were kind of similar players, kind of a do-it-all sort of.
The thing, what happened to Kyrie, though? Because wasn't he a stud as a rookie and then he dropped off? And I talked to Kings fans and... I don't watch him enough to know what happened to him.
Tyreek wasn't really a stud as a rookie. That year he performed, there weren't that many great rookies.
The Kings have had the all-time worst locker room the last few years. It's been bad with DeMarcus Cousins and Tyreek Evans.
DeMarcus,
there's just nobody.
Tyreek's not a locker room.
You don't think?
I think DeMarcus is.
He seems shy. I thought Tyreek's kind of introverted.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good mix.
DeMarcus is...
They haven't won. I heard they haven't won over 30 games in, 6-7 years? Is that right?
Who, the Kings?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. My friend told me which is depressing.
When I was in college, I used to write so many anti-Kings articles because I was a Laker fan, and it was in their three-peat time.
Really?
Yeah. You were seventh grade? And I would just bag on the Kings, and they have a really passionate fan base.
And you should, considering that game seven that was no heist when the Lakers shot 38 free throws to the Kings 10.
When you got Big Shot Bob, that's all you
There's
need.
A lot, you get a lot of...
38 free throws
you get a lot
to
of
the
bitterness
Kings
from Laker 10. Haters.
Well, you get that northern...
How is that a Laker hater?
Are you guys from Southern California?
We're from Cayucas.
Area, yeah. Okay, well, you get that northern California, Southern California divides. You get the Niners, Raiders, whatever fans.
No, I'm not even a Kings fan.
No,
I'm
talking
speaking
about
facts.
I know, but I'm saying a lot of Kings fans come to me and they're like, oh, you still don't deserve that. You know it. And they throw there's been websites created to try to almost kind of like those conspiracy websites. It's just really weird.
I've been very clear in saying that I think that the NBA is a big business, and I wouldn't be surprised if Stern pulls a few tricks. God. I wouldn't.
You're ridiculous.
I wouldn't.
That's ridiculous.
Not just for the Lakers. I think for a lot of teams.
Stern's definitely borderline, but I think the actual games, I don't think there's
Listen
a way that
talk.
You can do that.
You know he does.
Wasn't Donahue involved in that game? He sounds like he's part of the mafia.
With the Chris Paul trade, yeah, absolutely. But that's like a behind the scenes thing.
So, of course, because all of a sudden it affects the Lakers negatively. Yeah. That's when that was some kind of...
That's still... Don't
which
want to
I,
say this,
I, I'm not disagreeing.
I always think about...
But I'm saying that that's the only thing.
Can you imagine if they've gotten Chris Paul?
I always think that. How different would everything be?
Explain. These are professional refs. Explain 38-10. Just try to explain it to me right now without somebody giving somebody some money to do something.
The Lakers have Shaquille O'Neal who came out and dominated that game physically. They had Rick Fox who came out and played physical.
That still doesn't explain 38-10. No,
and the Kings went like this. They went wilt,
really
into 38 a little.
You're that much of
into
a
little
Laker level.
Flower,
you're
into a little wilting flower.
38-10.
Chris Webber shot 17 footers. He would never. He didn't drive to the basket hardly ever.
You're trying to justify
38-10. Phil Jackson teaches don't foul kind of defense. That was one of his emphasis.
God, I can't even believe. If anything, it doesn't have to be that it's some kind of a. You know, some weird thing that happened, but you could at least admit
it's an outlier.
That was a roughly poor that was a poorly called game.
I don't remember it that way. I remember watching it. Yeah, I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Well,
I was looking from the
youth.
Outside looking in, and that was a poorly reffed game. 38-10 is just despicable.
Hey,
period.
I know I'm new, but This doesn't sound like this is going anywhere, so.
It's not really.
This is going somewhere. This is good.
this is going for the rest of the year. We're just going to sit here and argue,
We got to speak on behalf of some of the Queens
fans. It's great pod. So
I like pods like this.
Is this only NBA? Were you going to move on to,
I mean, the World Series is tonight. Let's look up the score.
To be honest, isn't it sad that you just said it that way? I really don't care.
I really think that's sad.
What's the... Is it because it's the Red Sox and Cardinals and everybody hates the Cardinals?
As I've grown older, I've become more fan of my team and less fan of the sport. It's really strange. Yep. It might just be me, but it's just because I also don't... Once you get busy with jobs and things, I don't have enough time to follow everything. Unless you're a horse like you. You have been described as this other anchor here as relentless motor, I guess. So you're like
motor.
The Kobe...
Motor. Mel
you're
Kiper.
The Kobe Bryant of podding, but...
Well,
no, he's like the...
Yeah.
Have you seen the Frank Caliendo, Mel Kiper thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is so great. That's good. What were you going to say?
But that's so sad.
So it looks like Boston's going to win the World Series, guys. They're up 6-1 in the bottom of the seventh.
That's so sad that the World Series has become that.
It got a decent – it's been getting decent ratings. People care in those places. I think, you know
– Is it more a judgment on maybe Western baseball fans, the Western parts of the states?
It's not a judgment. Here's and
Trent's accelerating in the rest of the world.
Trent's never heard my take on this, and you might have, Luke, but I always think that looking at ratings for events, for sporting events, is like the stupidest thing ever for me. I know that there are people who have to decide what to put on next year or how much a commercial costs, but for me as a fan, what am I supposed to do when the World Series that I really want to watch gets a 7.2 rating instead of a 9.8. Yeah. Am I supposed to stop watching it because and complain about it and go, oh, nobody's watching it? It's the media being incestuous when they talk about what ratings they get. It's like media covering media. It's the stupidest. I think there's a business aspect to it, and if you want to be a business reporter, it's a good thing to write about, to talk about if you have a business radio show. But I think there's way too much put into ratings of sporting events for sports that happen. I don't care if it's a Super Bowl, if it's an NBA Finals game, if it's a Major League Baseball game. If it's on TV, I'm going to watch it if I want to watch it. And it's not going to make a difference.
And I was listening to Bill Simmons talk about this. He was saying that one of the issues with baseball, period, is there's sort of this old man's approach to everything, and it's like,
yeah, because Tim McCarver's almost, the freaking color guy.
It's almost sort of a stuck up kind of snooty.
He's like the Hugh Hauser of baseball.
If you don't choose to watch baseball because game one of the World Series was played on a Thursday night when there was an NFL game. Right. NFL is the most popular sport.
It's a crappy
in America,
NFL game, and it still got it.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm saying so, and baseball knew that and still scheduled it.
Right.
Why
don't you schedule it during the day or earlier?
How about a different day?
Yeah.
So we can all watch it.
Yeah, I think football is so far ahead but ratings do mean something. I mean, when it's so
what do they mean
when
to you as a fan though? Like as a fan of a team, when you look at the
one's going more intrinsic here.
But you can argue that though, because there's always going to be the hardcore fans. But really, that whole extra half chunk is made by people who are kind of on the fringe. Like, is this going to be exciting? Should I watch? Everyone has that. There's no sentimental value attached.
So that's why
I don't watch the World Series.
But should it affect other people if nobody's watching it or if everybody's watching it?
Well, doesn't it affect other people when you have an iPhone and everyone at your work has an iPhone, or when your friends do something, or when other people do something? It's what you talk about. I think it totally has an effect. That's how things become popular. The NFL became popular. The Super Bowl wasn't as big of a deal 20 years ago as it is now. I remember in elementary school, some girls are like, oh, I don't really care. I don't really watch.
Diane.
Football, I'm just saying there's I think it means something. But baseball to me even though the ratings suggest it's in a decline, I think, too, it's just so slow. Like Luke was saying, there's so many things about it, too, that are like, you know, it's still considered – isn't its motto America's pastime? There's something
about
that.
I don't have a problem with the tempo of the game. I think some people who maybe were kind of fringe fans would say so. I have a problem, and I think Owen and I have talked about this before. It's even when it comes to media passes and things, there's just sort of this like staunch kind of I don't know, just this sort of snootiness to baseball. It's like I almost could imagine them scheduling it on that Thursday. because they wanted to sort of speak out and say, almost
to sort out the different fans.
Yes, yeah. To almost be like, well, the real baseball fans are going to watch it instead of the Thursday night game.
Well, what about
to make it inaccessible or prestigious?
But what else? Yeah,
there you go.
But what else besides that, though? Do you think like the commentating is kind of snooty? Or
No. I'm speaking about just the people who like literally run baseball. Like
the old,
people who are the C-League?
Probably C-League.
Who doesn't email? Yeah.
He doesn't email. It's a good point.
Really?
He's never had an email and he never will.
He's going to be done, what, this year?
The end of this year, I think.
Okay.
The end of next season.
I think Magic Johnson getting involved with the Dodgers was a bigger deal than we all think it was.
Yeah, it's a big thing. And so, yeah.
He's relevant.
But to go into your,
had Mark Cuban gotten involved, great. That would have been fantastic.
To go into your thing about it being kind of uppity or inaccessible, there's a certain level of, pop culture, right? And mm-hmm. if something gets too popular,
there you go.
Then for the people who liked it first, it loses some value because they had so much ownership.
I think golf kind of embodies that too.
Golf a little bit, but they're trying to get more people to play actively. Yeah. Baseball doesn't even do that really as much. Yeah. And so there's a level of I wrote a paper on it in college since we have the college kid here. Well, I wrote a paper. It's like,
are you echoing what I'm saying or what he's saying?
I think both of you. It used to be in plays, mm-hmm. Back in England, right? They do plays, and if you went to the plays, you were this elite culture, and then all the poor people started going to plays and the commoners, and then it wasn't as cool anymore.
It wasn't elite.
Right? So they moved on to something mm-hmm. else. And baseball is still in that place where the elite people maybe only. And yes, I think that's a really high level generalization. Baseball has the most viewers because it has the most games, and it has the most money because it has the most games. But on a per game basis, it's way different. And it's one of the things that makes the playoffs so crazy to me is that you play 162 games and things average out over those games over months and months. You have a good month, a bad month. Now you have to play, four, six, seven games to decide who's the best team. It's really interesting the dynamics there to me.
So popularity across America is what you're saying, right? Or just within the fans?
Not just popularity. The point I'm trying to make is
accessibility.
It's not as relevant to maybe the emergent generations. Not because the game's too slow, maybe, or
it's a great game.
I'm a firm believer in the historic pastime of baseball. I love baseball. I think that people would really appreciate baseball if they're sitting there at the game, eating a hot dog, drinking a beer, watching the game. They're going to understand why it's sort of the way it is. But Bud Selig not having an email, I think, speaks louder than maybe we think it might. Right. It's sort of just this.
Say what you will about how much
it's this closed
of a weirdo
circle,
David Stern is, but David Stern, at least gives a perception he cares about something.
There you go.
He's at least trying to market his sport in a certain way.
Yeah.
There's a marketing plan at least.
The stars.
LeBron.
What's baseball's
marketing
plan?
Correct.
Don't be afraid of baseball being cool.
I think
that's kind of what we're saying.
Pepsi,
there's almost they're afraid of baseball being cool.
Pepsi marketed baseball more than baseball with those Pepsi pastime commercials and the
cornfields.
Or
American Express or whatever with MasterCard.
Yeah, it's not even baseball doesn't do it. NBA at least does NBA Cares. Or they kind of they market themselves.
They market,
you're right,
they
though.
They market individual players, right? And it's easy to when you have guys who are in the spotlight like that, and when you're making a concerted effort, football does too with quarterbacks.
And baseball has a few guys in the sport, but they don't have a guy per team per se.
Right, even the guys that
but
are in
you
the
could
sport, if you marketed Mike Trout, then I think kids would turn on the TV on a Saturday and watch Mike Trout play a game.
Yeah,
if you marketed
and
Yasiel
Puig, there was a time in baseball history when it was like that. When you thought of each team as sort of one
you'd
player,
you'd say, "Oh man, I know that Oral Hershiser's pitching today on a Saturday
or
game
in,
on CBS."
Or in the 70s, it was Clemente with the Pirates.
But my AP English paper in high school that I think I got an A on.
let's talk about more papers. Yeah.
It was a salary cap issues from sports. And it's kind of funny how when you're talking about marketing, that comes back to money.
Yep.
And you say baseball has a lot more money than everything, but isn't the NFL they have ludicrous amounts of
because
money.
They're capped.
Yeah. And there's, would it really hurt baseball if they did a salary share sort of thing where teams... I don't know. Don't you think the landscape of baseball would be severely changed if you capped teams at $90 million and it wasn't the NBA soft cap? It was an NFL hard cap.
Yeah, it would be totally different and
beneficial.
But the players union would never have that. Yeah, they're too strong of a labor organization to to ever let something like that happen. They make too much money now as it is. And for the Dodgers, who signed like a $25 billion, I mean, they make like $1 billion a year from here on out, like on their, just on their TV rights because of how many games there are.
The Lakers do too, right? It was $20 billion with Time Warner for how long?
Yeah, and the Angels signed a huge one too when they signed with Pujols.
Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So Lakers have
18 million, 18 billion or
yeah, it's something. It's some ridiculous number. And so, yeah, I mean, it does come back to the money, but yeah, I mean, it would be different if there was a hard cap. I think the hard cap would have to be more like 150 million though, it's never going to happen. The labor history there.
It's not happening.
Baseball players will strike for eternity before it happens. I mean, NFL union, not nearly as powerful. You see NFL players get discarded like yesterday's garbage. The NBA is moving more towards an NFL model.
I would say probably.
But the Major League Baseball is the most.
But the NFL, but that's what I think hurts baseball. You say it's never going to happen. That concept helps the NFL because it's so hard to predict who's going to make the playoffs every year. In the NFC, there's been different teams in the past 5 years, there's been different teams in the NFC conference championship game like every year representing for the Super Bowl. There's a lot of parity in the NFL. And I think that's reflected through they even though you don't like, I know a lot of people don't like Goodell, but what he's done has really helped the popularity of the game.
There you go.
And that's what hurts baseball.
We're going to go ahead and leave it at that, I think, for this evening. Trent. Really appreciate you coming by. I hope you can come by again and continue to contribute. We'll try to see if there's ways that we can embed some like Mustang News YouTube posts and stuff like that. And we'll try to we did this last week. Mustang News had a great preview of the soccer game. They're doing some really innovative stuff with their newspaper. And I know video wise, they're probably looking to do similar things. You can look for Trent there or. Helping out over at KSBY. I probably won't see him on TV too much, but maybe at a Friday night game or something from time to time. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming out, and we'll have you again. Luke?
All right. Go Pelicans.
Oh, my God.
Don't you mean Pelicans. Wizards?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up. Front page of the news.